Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
Welcome, I'm Ernie Strange with Managing Safety. Our guest today is Mr. Walt Schammel, and Walt has been with us since the beginning of time almost, but Walt, tell us, what got you involved in aviation?
Ernie, that's a fairly long question because I think I wanted to fly since I saw my first bird fly over the crib. And I did finally got my chance to fly. And in fact, it was in Civil Air Patrol as a cadet in 1956. I made my first flight in Glendale, California. And I got the bug ever since. I've finally worked my way up gradually to an ATP. Got about 14,000 hours, which means I did a lot of sitting in airplanes.
That's wonderful, Walt. 53 years of flying. But you know, managing safety has a lot to do with things other than actually flying airplanes. And I understand you have done a lot of things both inside and outside the cockpit relative to safety.
Well, I have been involved in the safety program most of my life. I got involved primarily in the safety program when I was in the Army. And then when I became an FBO, I found that it was an interesting tool to get the pilots together and just talk about flying and fun, which was a pretty good way. Back in the late 60s, we had a monthly, if you will, safety meeting, and we had a film and some free food. You know, pilots would come out for free food every time. But I've been a flight instructor for 40 years, and I still haven't answered the question, why do people do the things they do? I used to teach a class as an adjunct instructor for Transportation Safety Institute, and I got 2 hours to talk about human factors involved in accidents. And I started the presentation with, we've had all the accidents we're going to have by 1910. We just repeat the same accidents over and over again with larger airplanes and more expensive airplanes and more people on board.
Well, yeah, that's true. Oh, by the way, people don't become FBOs, Walt. So you started one, right?
Well, I did start one, but I think I was one. I lived there.
Very good. Now, in addition to flying, though, I believe you were telling me yesterday that you also have an engineering background and worked outside the cockpit making the system safer long before you, or, well, after you became flying, but as a co-junct, adjunct time when you were doing your flying?
Well, I worked as an electrical engineer and as a civil engineer. That was my educational background. And I've got a PhD, but I frankly like to fly because, well, I'm too lazy to work at it. But I did work in engineering for over 20 years. And I find it fun. I like to work with my hands and I like to build things. But I think more importantly, what I like to do is to help people achieve their personal goal. Somebody walks in and says, I want to get a private license or whatever it is. I said, my job is to help you get that. And I get a personal thrill out of seeing one of my students come back and said, I passed, I've reached my goal. And then the next question is, what's your next goal in life?
Well, you were also explaining to me about the Civil Air Patrol, and I know that you've been a participant but also a donor of both time and effort and money and a lot of things. And back, you were explaining to me about some things back in aviation, back in their Civil Air Patrol days where you assisted pilots in achieving those dreams. Tell us a little about that.
Well, I started in Civil Air Patrol in California back in 1956, as I mentioned. And since then, I've been in units all over the country. Just wherever I was living, I got involved in it again. I like working in the cadet program because, again, I'm helping them achieve their goals, and I find that to be more personally satisfying than just going out and doing a job like searching for people, although finding one, and particularly one that's alive and so forth, is a lot better than finding pieces of an airplane. But the thing that I like most about the Civil Air Patrol is that it's a service organization. And they're there to help others. They're here to help other pilots. And I think one of my motivating factors in being a member is I want them to find me if I'm out there. And so I'm looking to make sure that the training is first class. And I've worked my way up through the organization until I was a corporate officer. I was a wing commander. And now I'm currently on the national staff as an advisor to the national commander in Maxwell Air Force Base.
Walt, you're being extremely modest there. I also know that Walt happened to actually take money out of his own pocket and give it to several of the cadets. You were telling me at a weak moment yesterday, and it helped them achieve their goals, even one at a time, right?
Well, back in the 60s, I was a squadron commander at the time, and I ran a cadet squadron, and I made the offer to the cadets that when they reached the required age, that I would pay for their solo. And so in those days, you could solo in about 8 hours, and they had their choice. They could fly either an airplane or a glider. So I transported them to the training site and spent the day with them and then brought them back. And I get an extreme amount of pleasure from seeing somebody else enjoy flying as much as I have in the last 53 years.
Now, coming up to present day, Walt, primarily your current get up in the morning, get involved in aviation has a lot to do with flight training in a different avenue. How about that?
Okay, well, yes. You sometimes wonder if you're supposed to mention things on the air like this, but I'm the training manager for airline transport professionals based out of Jacksonville, Florida, and there's 25 offices nationwide. And what I particularly do is work with the CFI program. And I do the CFI flight school as well as the flight training for some of them, along with other instructors. And I find that, well, these are the people that are going to be affecting industry in the near future. And I look at flight safety as meeting the requirements of not only do we provide safety for our student while they learn, but we provide an effective training program for them. I didn't say efficient, effective for each person. And we laugh about it, but I said somebody in this class this week will try to kill me in an airplane, but I won't let them. And I said I did the same thing to my instructor because we make mistakes, and that's our job as an instructor, to catch the mistakes, show our student how to be a better, safer pilot, and not to make those mistakes in the future.
Well, don't you think when you help make a pilot, when you're actually functioning as a flight instructor and creating a flight instructor, they're very different in the way that you approach them. There's a lot of mental coaching in both areas, but they're uniquely different, right? Training a flight instructor is a little different than training a pilot, wouldn't you say?
Yes, there's a big difference in that. When you're training a pilot, it's more or less knowledge and skill, and I don't mean to belittle the requirement, but it's a lot more of a rote response when you get in the airplane. It's just doing the maneuver over and over again. But when you work with a flight instructor, they have to know the whys behind everything, and they still have to know and produce the commercial skill level of a commercial pilot as well as a flight instructor when they're taking that test. And that's only the beginning step. They're going to be a flight instructor like I have for the last 40 years. And it's every day with the students, different, and it's fun.
Now, how long have you been participating at Sun and Fun?
I don't know exactly how long I've been participating, but I've been attending for, 15 years. How long have you been working with Sun and Fun, Ernie?
Since 1992, yeah, so 17 years.
Yeah, so a lot longer, and you're still having fun at it.
I am, Walt, I am. Now, in a minute, we're going to return, and we're going to try to get Walt to talk a little bit about some of the other of the many various facets of aviation in which he's been involved in. This guy has done a lot of things over the past several years, and we want to get to talk to Walt about that. We'll be back soon. Welcome back. Ernie Strange with Managing Safety, and our guest today, Walt Schammel. Now, Walt has been involved in aviation safety for an incredibly long time. Walt, weren't you around when Wilbur bent the first strut on an airplane?
Well, Ernie, I'm not quite that old, but everybody remembers on December 17, 1903, at 10:35 a.m., for those purists, Orville made the first heavier-than-air powered flight. But flight number four, Wilbur hit the top of ground effect with that airplane, so he was getting a little wild with it. And he dropped a wing on the ground, and he bent it, and that was the first recorded aircraft accident. And we've had quite a few since then in various types of airplanes, different speeds, different people on board. But back in the middle 60s, I started a program with getting all the pilots together. And in those days, you could get a free aviation safety film from the FAA. And I went down to the library and borrowed a 16-millimeter projector and screen. That's got to be archaic today. And I went to a restaurant, and I said, I'd like to borrow your room. And, oh, by the way, would you provide coffee and donuts to this group? It's a small town of 12,500 people, and I didn't think I was going to get 20 people in there, but I set 35 chairs up. When we had when the meeting started, there were people standing in around the walls. There were people out in the hallway trying to find out what was going on. I didn't know that this town had 205 World War II pilots, and they all wanted to fly, but there was no place for them to rent an airplane. Well, this was the beginning of my business as an FBO. So they asked, what do I need to do? Well, in those days, it was pretty easy, right? Come out, get checked out in the airplane, have a good time. Today, I would say something a little bit different to them. I said, come out, let's do a flight review. I'll check you out in the airplane at the same time and have a good time. So aviation safety's always been with us, but the FAA started a very formal safety program back around 1970, 1969. And today it's kind of morphed into what we call now the FAA safety team. A lot of people can get information off of faasafety.gov, all one word. It's a program where we get to think about safety. Probably the most dangerous flying that we do today is in the Navy. And yet they have one of the finest safety records of any aviation organization in the nation. And the reason is they talk safety every day, every flight. But in general aviation, do we really think about safety? Is that one of those things that are brought to the forefront? Do we as individuals make the effort to go to that monthly safety meeting at our local airport? And if you don't have one, why don't you start one? Because it's a way to get everybody together to think about the safety aspects. And how about the safety aspects of the seasonal changes? We know about flying the airplane. We know about the maneuvers and procedures. But what about flying in the winter, in the summer, and in the deserts, and in the mountains? That safety program refreshes our memory on some of those basics that we might not use every day, but we still have to maintain that knowledge and skill.
Now, Walt, when the safety program was going through its infant stages in the FAA, you were involved in that, were you not?
Yes, in the beginning, I was working with both Kansas City and St. Louis district offices in the safety program. They gave us patches to put on our jackets when we held the safety meetings that said we were safety counselors. And we passed out cards, and in the early days, and some of our listeners may remember that, we passed out safety pins, and it was a safety pin. And inside the center of that safety pin was the airplane that Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic Ocean. And so that was a program that we used for many years. I can remember still issuing some of those pins in the early 90s, correction, in the early 80s.
That's pretty great, Walt. That's a wonderful thing. Now, you also morphed, I guess, if you from safety over to standardization with the pilot examiner program. Is that true?
Well, there was one point where I thought I'd like to be able to help more people. So I did join the FAA, and that was a good day. The beginning in the FAA was in Atlanta. I worked 3.5 years in the regional office. And then I went to Fairbanks, Alaska for 4 years, and I had the opportunity to fly all over the state every summer in every usable airport. And did a little glacier flying, a little mountain flying, landed on gravel bars. I'm also a seaplane single and multi-engine pilot. Got to do a little bit of that up there. I think Alaska is one of the world's best-kept secrets. And like any place else, you have to use a little judgment to maintain safety. And there was many times when I looked at the situation and said, oh, not today, I'm not going to do this. But then I worked in the Tampa office, and I spent 15 years working out of Washington headquarters on AFS 640 on the pilot examiner program. And that was the beginning of the what we use today called practical test standards, coming up with a more definitive, more objective way of determining knowledge and skill, not making it more difficult, but being able to evaluate the pilot's judgment, skill level, to make sure that they're going to maintain the safety requirements that we have today.
That's a wonderful thing, Walt. And I know Walt's affected my aviation career in that very path. I remember as a pilot examiner about to be, Walt taught the class. And I'll tell you what, there's many, many lessons that I learned from you, Walt. So I'm a little bit of a one-man fan here, but out there in radio land, there's a lot of others. Over the years, you've been filled quite a void in a lot of pilots' careers, particularly regards to safety. That's a wonderful thing. Now, did you also fly in the Army?
Well, I was in Army aviation. I got involved in some aspects of it. Also, we had the usual military approach to safety and our stand downs that we would go through periodically. About once a month, we'd have a stand down. Sometimes it wouldn't be the whole day. It'd just be a part of a day. Again, we're bringing safety back to the forefront. But I think probably the greatest impact I had in the Army was when I worked with the Army Flying Club at Fort Ord. We had, unfortunately, two fatal accidents. And we went back and we looked at the whys behind it, what we could do to improve it. And one of the basic things that we did was we put management in the system. Instead of a pilot just coming out and grabbing the keys and flying, they had to schedule the airplane. We knew exactly who was flying, when they were flying, what airplane they were flying. And so we put a little more of the backup system in it for a second opinion. Some of our pilots were very low-time private pilots. Some of our pilots were very high-time pilots, both airplanes and helicopters. So once we established that procedure, we didn't have any more accidents in the club.
That's a great thing. I'll tell you what, Walt, if I wish people could get to spend a little more time with you to 'cause one thing is you, from the beginning, how you progressed through, and you've spent a lot of time in aviation from the beginning, from the roots of it. Sometimes we get in a situation we sort of chase our tails. But as you pointed out in the beginning, really, we are not finding new ways to hurt ourselves. We just have to continually repeating the same message to help people keep from hurting themselves the same old way, right?
Well, it's an awareness thing. You may remember recently the buzzwords in the aviation was runway incursions. And the FAA beat runway incursions to the point where I almost hated to hear the word again because it grated on my nerves. But that's the way you bring awareness to people. Repetition, repetition, repetition. As time goes by, the FAA changes their emphasis areas. And so in our safety program, we beat on one subject for a while and make everybody aware of it, and then we switch to another one. And it's a continual and a continuous process. It isn't just a one-time, let's talk about it and leave, because in one ear and out the other.
I wish we had more time to spend with you, Walt. Maybe we'll be able to get you back again. I'm Ernie Strange with Managing Safety. Thank you very much for your participation with us today. Thanks, Walt.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.